would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 90, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you doing?
They're all lovely. They're all loving it.
So, this is an interesting episode today, considering I knew nothing about it 12 hours ago.
How much do you normally know about things?
Well, it depends on how you want to communicate, Barry.
It's
right, anyway,
go on. Need to know basis.
And I didn't need to know.
That's like how the military works, isn't it? When it becomes relevant,
you can attack.
We don't want to scare you.
All right. I suppose there is something to that.
You've got your oral blinkers on.
Something to be said about that. Go on. Right. So, explain the episode.
So we have a few bits of stuff kicking around in our mailbag.
Yeah.
But not enough for an episode. Mm-hmm. So I decided. There was no we. The royal we.
Yeah.
The royal we.
I was dictated to.
The royal we decided that we've done enough army reviews for the time being.
We have.
And so we'll get our mailbag clear before I take a couple of weeks off. And then we can go back to more army reviews.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Right, so we asked on Faceache for people to come in with questions. Some of them were quite good.
Yeah,
some of them were
good,
quite
yeah.
trivial.
Wow.
You know, like, who's the most attractive?
Hang on.
That kind of shibber shabber.
We're going to address that.
It's by Mr. Janus. yes, so we got all that going on. And then we got, obviously, the Week in Paul's World.
Yeah.
The very small Week in Barry's World.
Yeah.
And, our normal KR sponsorship and all the other gubbins that comes with an episode. We're up to 90 now.
90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Yeah,
we'll definitely get to 100. I'm not sure we'll ever get to 200.
You think?
I don't know. What would the second 100 be about? We'll have done all the armies.
That's point actually. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see. You know,
unless somebody comes up with a new rule set, then we can do all the armies with a new rule set. right, anyway, so there we go. So what have we been doing? I'll do mine first because it's easy.
Yeah.
How long has it been? 1 week?
Just over, yeah.
Yeah. 1 week. So we're recording on Thursday morning, 10 a.m. ish.
Yep.
29th of March.
March.
March. So when did we last record?
Last
Friday or something. Oh,
days.
Jesus.
Yeah.
My God. For the love of God, I've done literally nothing apart from Blightgate miniatures. I played Magic on Monday. We did something very unusual.
Oh.
So we did something called Standard Pauper.
There's two formats in one.
It kind of rammed together, so it's a new format that... Well, it's not new, but we've certainly never done it before. So it's all common cards from the last 2 years.
Oh, okay.
So there's literally no card that anybody wouldn't have access to.
Obviously. So the standard is past 2 years, and the pauper is all common cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of
format.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can find a net deck to use.
Yeah.
You have to make your own deck.
Well, it's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it was all good.
Yeah.
And there was no way you couldn't afford the cards. These are the kind of cards that people just leave on the end of the table.
Yeah.
They don't want. Yeah. Once you've got four of each of these cards,
you
don't need any more.
Yeah.
So we had 13 players.
Good.
Including one new fella, Sam, who turned up just to play this.
So who decides that you're doing these formats?
Me.
You decide. So that's good. When I was part of it, that's the kind of format that's really good to me.
Yeah. So even if you had to buy the cards, they're only buttons.
Yeah.
Like 10 pence a card,
exactly.
If that.
So did the same people win?
It was interesting. Tom Pugh came and he won.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that was the first event he's been in ages. And
he won the event?
Yeah, he went 3-0.
Oh,
with Black
White
Vampires. If you know how to play the game and you've got access to all the common cards, which most people do, then you're in with a shout. You're not going to lose because you can't afford to spend it.
No, exactly.
Another guy that used to win all the time when we had this kind of event, Martin, who's like a deck builder extraordinaire. He loves to build decks. He'd build decks like every week if you give him a chance.
Yeah.
But most of the time you don't have a chance because the format's sort of known and you just have to get your wallet out.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was good. That was good. And the kids have been bouncing in and out of school. They really do wind down for the end of term. Some of them are taking the piss. So my son, eldest son, goes to a grammar school.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday, they weren't allowed home at lunch.
Of course not.
No. They had to wait until 1 8:20 to register in the afternoon, and then they went home.
Then they were there, and then they're not there. So they had to say that they were there, and then they're not there.
Yeah. And you're like, that is a total piss take, mate. Because you're pretending, oh, we had them all afternoon, you know, on our register of Ofsted.
Ofsted.
Yeah. They were there.
They were there.
We wanted them to go home at lunch. They had to stay in until 1:20, and then as soon as they registered, they had to go. And you go, that's just a piss take, mate. Because that's not even an inset day or anything.
It's just, well, why were they doing it?
Because they can do what they want. Schools are like, like prison camps. There's no discussion.
There's no discussion.
The school is doing this.
The warden says.
And that is it.
And that is it.
And so, I've got three kids at three different schools, and between them all, just fucking around. Like, kids at home constantly this term, with the snow and with insets and with pissing around. So they finish at three different times today. One finishes at 2, one finishes at 2:15, and one finishes at 3:40.
How awkward. All of this just penalises people who work, isn't it?
I don't know how you do it if you work.
Yeah, you'd just
be fucking ruined.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess you've just got kids hanging around outside a lot. Yeah, like, until they can be, or find their way home, I suppose.
Yeah, anyway.
Difficult.
Anyway. Kids.
Yeah.
You've got all that good stuff to... Well, not you, probably. Hannah. Hannah's got all the shit to go.
Yeah, I'll be at work. I'm Joe.
You are Joe in this equation.
Yeah.
If people don't know, I'm a house husband, and I have been for, 11...
Years. 12 long years.
12 years in April.
Get less for murder.
12 years in April. Jesus wept. So I do all the kids shit all the time.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Kids. In fact, I think I was at Jump Street last night with the kids.
That, do you know how many injuries we get in the
area? Yeah, my sole daughter hurt her foot last night.
Yeah. Here we go.
It's like an arch sprain or something.
They have no medical cover there at all.
Don't ever read the disclaimer.
Yeah, because it's like you're going
to
get...
You're not allowed to go into this trampoline park without signing the disclaimer.
Of course.
The disclaimer basically says, we're not liable for anything.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, even if something falls out of the sky and kills you, we're not liable, mate.
Because I work in, so this is a trampoline place, and I work in the A&E that's closest to it. You see so many injuries from Jump Street.
Unbelievable.
Including adults, who should know better. Like, even not young adults, what are you doing? Oh, I tried to do a backflip,
I broke my neck.
And you landed on your head. Have you ever done a backflip? No. It's so you thought it would be a good idea. Because,
You're 20 stone.
Yeah. And your body's frame is just not going to take it. Yeah. And they come in, they drip, and you're just like, well, where do you do that? Jump Street. And it's like, what did the staff do? Just told us to come here. And it's like, because they can't,
No.
So, I think they should sponsor a ward.
They should sponsor a ward. So I think I saw Rodders there last night. It was like Beaver Night.
Oh, really? Oh,
millions
okay.
of Beavers. Yeah. So was he not at the club last night then?
He was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you were there, Rodders, or maybe you weren't. The
battle
of six.
He was playing War Machine.
Mm-hmm. That is bizarre. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, so that's me done, basically. Yeah. I'll talk a bit about Blackgate later, because I've got some good news.
Ah, at last. What, you've sent off the apologies?
There's just an ongoing apology. I'll just tweet it out, yeah? So what have we been doing? The Paul's World is fucking massive this week.
Oh, I need to have a look at it.
We've got to get a fucking countdown timer out.
Yeah, right. So
go on then, fella.
First thing, I played Phil at Warmaster. So I got over to Phil's and I played Skaven into Empire.
Don't say into. That sounds like that War Machine tits.
All right. So I
played against.
Played against.
That's nice. Yes, that's old fashioned. We're gentlemanly.
All right. I played Skaven against Empire, and I still have no idea really how to push Skaven about.
On a big fucking board.
I just don't know. Like,
a big board. A big box with all your miniatures on.
Maybe. I mean, every time I come to, I come to play it, I'm like, how am I going to build these brigades? And, I'm quite happy with the army list I've got, but I have the brigades are always different every time. Which is maybe how I should stop overthinking it, and that's how I should do it.
I used to love playing against them with high elves, and you just go one way and he tried to turn, and then you go back the other way and he tries to turn back around, and basically you've moved nowhere.
Yeah.
You've spent four turns just wheeling, and you haven't moved anywhere.
Exactly. Because in this one, his artillery brigade, I managed to control quite nicely with some swarms. I remember there was a lucky move of getting some rat ogres in three orders which is good for Skaven, yeah, to get a charge on. But then I, against Crosswomen, and then I lost the combat.
Of course you did.
Yep.
You're not very good as infantry.
But overall, I ended up with a win, a costly win, but I think every win against Skaven is going to be a costly win. But yeah, it was a really good game, and I enjoyed playing at Phil's. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I would like to take Skaven. I think I will take Skaven to Stirling, to Scotland, but I just don't know how. This was intrigued, but the more I use them, the more even more befuddled I become with
them.
But
you've got to remember, they're cheap.
Yeah.
You get discounts nobody else gets for perceived slights against the list that don't exist. So everything's like, you've got decent infantry.
Yeah.
But they're restricted, aren't they?
Yeah,
the Stormvermin.
Four units, yeah.
In total.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Like, your chaff really is shit.
Anyway, I enjoy using them because they are just so. They are the fun.
Get your Jezails out or whatever they're called. Warp lightning.
Do anything. I tried that. This is what this list doesn't have. Anyway, I also played Jim at Warmaster. We had our second playtest session of Wood Elves. Mm. And we played two games. Mm. He played. So I was using the same Wood Elf list. And that was against, to begin with, a Empire army again. So to see what artillery did to it.
Nothing.
And then we also played a game where he used Chaos, heavy Chaos Brigade army, very well built Chaos army, I have to say. And I played Wood Elves again. And so that was those.
And did you win both games?
He won both games.
Wow. I don't know how you won the first game.
That was very close. The second one was a bit of a smacking. All my lovely bows just were bouncing off his Chaos Warriors, who played aggressively and came at me. It was good.
But you're not in the woods?
I was, but like around and stuff. But like Chaos Warriors,
not around in the woods. Get in those woods, boys.
But the But the thing was, is what it resulted in was a whole bunch of points that we put onto the rules committee, Warmaster Rules Committee, and it's good feedback. So Jim has played five games against Wood Elves. And, because he played one with Janners as well. And I'll admit from the start that, like, the Wood Elf list, I purposely chose to play test. That's something of everything. That's not the list I would build for a tournament. I would, mix it. As the list was, I would not have.
What would Janners play? That's what
he'd play.
That's what you should say.
Like,
what would Janners play?
He'd have four of the Wild Riders. He'd have two characters with unicorns. You know, like, that's what it would be. I hadn't chosen that because it's playtesting. But anyway, we submitted all these points and they're starting to be addressed and looked at to work the Wood Elf list to potentially an approved status, which is good. What else did I do? I also played Eric at Batman the Miniatures game. Do you know anything about that?
Only that Knight did it because they lost the license.
To Marvel. Yeah. But I tried it. It's a very Eric game. You've got your crew of like your hero or villain and his sidekick and some henchmen, and they go against opposite numbers. And you're trying to get like objectives and it's cool. I mean, the models are lovely. The rule set is really nice. It's it's a very Eric, like you're almost role playing it. When you're playing it, because. You know who these characters are.
Right, okay.
Which is cool, so I might well pick up at some point a crew.
Are they as expensive as the Marvel ones were?
Actually, they're doing more resin. Their new stuff is all in resin, and that's a lot cheaper. So,
well,
yeah. I enjoyed it enough.
It was particularly pricey, the Marvel stuff. Mm. I think it was like.
Yeah, for what it was. This is the thing Eric enjoys the most, so I can pick up a gang, like a crew. Somewhere, and that would be not fun to try. I mean, got plenty of ideas. The Joker in it. Not the Joker. The Riddler. No one is the classic green suit.
Jim Carrey.
Outfit. Jim Carrey. No, but even more like the old 60s show.
All right,
he looks like that Joker. And the
Riddler.
Yeah, the Riddler. Yeah, and they look quite funny. So they might be them. At the club last night, I played Darren, some Necromunda. Which was really cool. I played him, got him two games through last night, where my gang raided his territory and stole an empty box from him, and make him fear that.
Sounds expensive.
And then we played a second game of.
What kind of faction are you? Are they a very loyal faction?
These guys, they are loyal, yeah.
To each other.
Yeah, to each other.
Loyal men.
Orlocks.
Orlocks, yeah, probably. Because if anything else, the leader would have had to be executed. Wasting our time and getting us all killed for an empty box.
The leader was in hospital. He wasn't there for that one.
Two ICs dead. Taking us down this
It was classic. Literally, this is the guy who was leading the band, because they were on my painting today, was a guy kept packing a heavy stubber. So in a
heavy
raid...
stubber? There's no heavy stubbers, are there?
Yeah, this is a heavy stubber.
I thought
stubber.
You said there were no heavy stubbers.
No, Orlok's got them.
Like, did they?
Yeah.
Gods of war, these things were.
So, so basically, my team of four that was healthy enough to do the raid mission was led by that champion packing a heavy stubber. So I'm in a stealthy mission where I've got to run in, grab stuff and go. I decided to bring a heavy weapon, and it's like it was no use at all, because you've got to move and fire with this and you can't with that anyway.
Tig
because my guys are like straight out Sons of Anarchy.
Tig
But that was cool. And then we played a second game also afterwards as well, because the games did not take very long.
No, I wouldn't imagine. Especially if it's four aside.
Yeah. Also got a game of Shadespire against Dave afterwards.
Diamond Dave.
And
Undead Dave.
Yeah. And that's what I've been painting. So at the moment things are all little projects for me. So I've done the Skaven Shadespire and the Sigmar Marine Shadespire, both following Warmer Painting TV guides. And the scenery I did for Shadespire as well. Yeah, so I'm really happy with the way those two bands have come out looking. Even the Sigmar Marines, like, I could paint an army looking like that, but their fluff is just awful. But the models are really easy to paint. So
I did think about actually taking some painting stuff on holiday with me, but it's not very easy to do now because of the liquids bands.
Oh, okay. Oh, going abroad, yeah. I suppose. Yeah. And the other thing that's been going on a lot about is, obviously, connected to Jim's playtesting, is there's been lots of back-and-forth traffic on the Warmaster Rules Committee. Do we want to talk about that now, or should we save that later?
Save it for later.
Yeah, okay. That's what I've been up to. Yeah.
Very good, sir. Very good. So we're on to Chaos Sponsorship.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're back in the room. I always say that. I think that's a kind of video thing rather than an audio thing back in the room. But, after I can think of something else to send. So our main topic today is Ask Us Anything.
Ask Us Anything.
Which came off the back of, we had some emails kicking around.
Okay.
So I thought, we'll go through some emails.
Yeah.
Because if you do contact-like podcasts with emails, they tend to use them as, like, things to
material.
Discuss.
Yeah.
So what's the point in contacting them if you don't want them to talk about
that's
it?
That's true, yeah.
So we did have an email.
Yeah.
I won't say from who, because I don't think that's right. We don't know, unless it's somebody I know, and then I don't care, like Phil or Janners.
Mm-hmm.
We could redact the names. So this is a redacted name.
Yeah.
And it came through on Faceache again, I think.
Yeah.
So it says, and it's to do with our last episode, which is good. If it's inspired somebody to write to us, that means that's good. That's some engagement, it's called.
Okay.
So it says, "Hi, Paul and Barry. Please accept my apologies up front, as this email is quite frankly a rant." I mean, I'm all for ranting. If you want
you can't complain about
it. No, not at all. That's why I'm fair play to you, fella.
Go on.
What grinds your gears? That's fine. But having just listened to your latest podcast for Dark Elves War Master Revolution Edition, I had to write to you both. So if you want to stop reading at this point, that's fine. Okay, so that's it. Move on to the no, of course there's more. My rant is about the special rule 6 that affects generals, heroes and sorceresses or sorcerers when they blunder command rolls. It's excessive. Well, it definitely is excessive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meant to be excessive.
Yeah.
I've had Dark Elves since they first came out. Well, lucky you, because they're fucking expensive. I hope you got loads of them. And this rule has always bugged me. Simply because why would a highly intelligent race kill off its own commanders for incompetence in the middle of a battle and have no suitable replacements? Now, Paul is our military expert, so maybe he can discuss. They kind of did that all the time, didn't they? They sent them over the top to lead out their men.
There'd always be somebody else like to take up, even if it's like, even if you start cutting through like to the next NCO or something. But, I mean, I guess, you know... In terms of who the Dark Elves are, I mean, imagine it like
there's not nobody to replace. There just isn't, like, somebody as capable as the one they just killed being replaced.
Or maybe they don't put on the front line the very best.
No,
they don't put them in harm's way. They don't say, over the top, boys, with a whistle and a little pistol to go and charge in no man's land.
No, I suppose. I mean, yeah, I think you have to look at it more. I think in terms of, they're not literally, there is one hero character. He's been sacrificed for being rebellious, and there's nobody takes over. No, there'd be somebody else taking over. They're just not as good.
It's an interesting, because he's not talking about them being like trying to usurp.
Yeah, yeah.
In the kind of elfish way that they would, you know, where you used to have to, the high elves used to have to roll a dice, and it was like, you had to decide on your general on the roll of a dice.
Oh, yeah.
All that bullshit. Now, it's not, they're not talking about that. This guy's just incompetent. You know, you fucked up, you blundered, you got to pay the price, mate.
Exactly.
Pay the iron price.
Yeah, exactly.
What's dead may never die. Yeah. So anyway, I have suffered the pain of losing a hero on a manticore on the first roll of a game.
Oh,
and I can assure you, it effing well hurts. I'm sure it does.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then he answers his own question here.
Yeah.
So he suffered that pain.
Yeah.
And he learned.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, therefore, I always take the Scepter of Sovereignty.
Yeah, you see, that's your mistake.
No, you fell for the sucker punch once. That ain't happening ever again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I ain't losing my Manticore hero turn one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you bring the Scepter.
Yeah.
It gives you twofold.
Yeah.
It gives you a free order now, because not only is it not a blunder, you get to pass the order, and you get to save a guy.
Yep.
Because there's no way you're taking a leadership level off. There's no way you're going down to leadership 9 on your general.
Okay.
Well, in my world.
So anyway, what? So what's it? So he's...
Oh, it's still going. Yeah. In my world, there is no way I'm going down to leadership 9.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd rather kill everybody else in the army and just have my general on his own.
Okay. Yep. Fair enough.
This alone is a reason to change the rule. What is alone? Therefore, I always take the Scepter of Sovereignty. This alone is a reason to change the rule. Well, in my warped world, I was trying to ban that Scepter of Sovereignty.
Yeah.
I was trying to get rid of that crutch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did roll that double six on your first roll, then bye-bye hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Other armies may have special rules that help characterise the army in some way, some for good, some for bad, but none of them that I can think of have a rule that is so detrimental to the army that it removes heroes, wizards from the game. That's absolutely right.
That is true.
Although, you can have absolutely horrific turns with Lizardmen if you fail your first order with Divine Guidance. Your turn just turns into a pile of steaming turd.
I mean, to be honest, I would be happy with Skaven having the same negative. Like, if a Skaven underling, that hero or wizard, rolls a blunder, they get executed.
I don't know about they get executed. I would like them to have some negative rather than the screaming bell just ignores it all. It's like, hey, well, boys,
I'd be happy with that, with the same, because that killing your other rivals is a very Skaven thing to do.
Okay.
So I'd be happy, like, for them to have the same problem, have the same negative in, and not reduce their points, just like, this is another...
How much redundancy would you have? How many heroes would that make you take?
Well, you have to take a lot of heroes anyway in Skaven, because their command value their command distance is 20. So, I wouldn't bother me. I just... Because that, to me, is... Skaven shouldn't be good.
They're very good leadership-wise, I'm telling you. They've got leadership at the wazoo.
All right, well, I'd be happy having that... I'd be happy having that rule.
Well, I'd happily vote for it.
Well, maybe we should do it.
Well, maybe we will. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you can't say that only Dark Elves would have it, because Skaven would have it.
Yeah, Skaven would have it too. Yeah.
Okay, but not for the general. No.
Well,
you can't lose a leadership level on a general.
Why not?
I wouldn't even give him an option.
Oh no! Is it on the same rule? If you're putting exactly the same rule onto another army, it's got to be the same rule, hasn't it? So say
go to leadership 8.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? Skaven shouldn't be good. They should be shit.
Well, you at least allow the bell to put him back up to 9.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. So there is they've got another way to help themselves. Like, what are you talking about? They can't. In fact, the bell can't be used to help. The bell can't even be used to help the general.
That's what I'm saying, because it takes him to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it took it back to 9, if it says maximum 9...
Ceiling 9, yeah.
That's fine.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I'd happily have that rule in Skaven.
Kill 2, bring it back to 8.
Yeah,
like, okay. Down to
leadership 7. To me, and I play Skaven, you know, like, not, you know, I like stuff that... You know, remember when I was playing Empire and I said flagellants shouldn't be with...
Skirmishers.
Skirmishers.
Or the other way around.
Like, skirmishers shouldn't be with flagellants. because it doesn't fit like what the it doesn't fit the concepts of the army. And I voted like, you know, I'll happily take
fluff.
I'll happily punch support. My own armies. Yeah.
I don't have an own army. I don't have, I'm not precious for armies.
Okay.
But one thing I want to do before my time on this earth expires is to kill a fucking screaming bell. You just can't do it.
You're not getting mine. Not getting mine.
And the fucking thing brings so much, man. Yeah. So much damage once it gets near your lines.
Yeah. Anyway, back
we're not talking about Skaven. Yeah. Anyway, what we were doing. Right. To add insult to injury, the said hero sorceress doesn't just get executed.
Yeah.
Or general loses a command point, which is never happening.
Yeah.
But the blunder chart is then used to see what happens next.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, that's an additional kick in the balls, that
it
one.
It is.
Now, I'm not asking for the whole rule to be removed.
What is he asking?
I would expect that to be rejected out of hand.
Yep.
Fucking absolutely right. What I would like to see is it toned down a bit. To this end, I would like to propose the following alternatives to the rule. Keep the rule as it is, just state that the blunder chart is not used as well.
Okay.
Sounds reasonable, yep. Because it is a big kick in the stones.
Yeah.
And if you're using the scepter, you're ignoring that blunder chart anyway.
Yeah, okay.
So that would take away half of the bonus of the scepter. Not only do you get to pass the order and not execute the guy, but you don't use the blunder chart.
Okay, well, it does. Yeah, okay. But that sounds quite reasonable. What else
is it? Two, when a sorcerer hero blunders for the first time in the game, they automatically lose a command point. If that happens, they're executed. If it happens again, they're executed. By the way, once they're down to leadership 7, I'm not interested in them anyway, because they're fucking rubbish, mate.
Okay,
they're
so...
Like goblin heroes.
So, additional thing is, instead of them being executed,
they can lose a command point. Those guys.
Right, okay. Carry on.
I don't think there'd be any use to you. They're like 45-point Empire wizards or something. Once all hero sorcerers are dead, the general starts to lose command points down to command 8. If the general blunders, then they lose command points down to command 8, and then the command phase 8.
God, you're rolling a lot of blunders, aren't you?
How many do you think? It's only one of your 36 rolls.
Yeah.
Just don't roll too many dice.
Yeah. Choose your orders, yeah.
I think that's one thing people do.
They just order for the sake of ordering.
Especially with Dark Elves. You just say, I'll just try and push these another one. No, that's enough now.
Like, does it change anything?
Is it going to help me win?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Maybe.
So, I think the first one's reasonable. Three. As in two, Jesus, two was quite involved, but no characters killed off, the blunder chart users. No, characters are dying, mate. So I think the removal of the blunder chart is probably reasonable.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Because it is a pretty... Nobody else gets kicked quite as hard in the balls as they do.
No. And so when we come round as a committee to looking at the... reviewing the approved armies again, that is something to pin as a suggestion for Dark Elves. Yeah. Okay.
I hope you have put through a reasonable enough case for this rule to be looked at.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
And that my suggestion may help. If not, at least you've tried. You've more than tried, sir. I think your suggestion about maybe removing the blunder as well is probably... quite reasonable.
Quite reasonable. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what the committee. We're just two voices. Yeah. If it's something that the Pan European Alliance doesn't like the look of, then it won't happen. But if they do, then maybe it can be looked at.
Yep.
For the 2019 update.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Rightio. So Paul's happily painting his little diddlers. Are we going blue? Are we by chance?
Mostly
blue.
They're bikers, so they're a lot of leather.
Blue bikers.
A lot of leather.
I'm not sure. But blue biker leather.
A lot of men in hot leather. I know you like that, Barry.
Surely it's got to be gloss black, hasn't it?
I'm because the painting guide for these two worked really nicely. I am going to follow the painting guide for these
ones
as well.
What colour are they? Blue.
Well,
your locks. Because you're painting a blue.
Blue under. T-shirts. Black.
Blue
leather.
T-shirts. Okay, right, what else we got? We're going to just hit these. Are these in any form of order?
I didn't print them off in any order, so...
Okay.
As long as we address them all and we don't leave any untouched.
Right, okay, first one.
Go.
Questions. It's from Daniel, this one. What's your general thought on eBay prices out there for Warmaster minis and or... Best War Master deal or trade ever in any forum?
So with each question, we would take, or we will alternate who leads on the answer first.
Whatever. If that's important to you, Paul, you do that, sir.
It is important to me.
Does not have to be eBay. So that's the first bit.
So basically, whoever reads the question answers it first.
Is it?
Yeah, that's how we're going to do it.
Fucking hell. What else do you want from me? Right, so, do we want to do all these guys' questions or one at a time?
No, one at a time.
Jeez, we better hurry up then. Right, so what's your general thoughts on eBay prices out there for Warmaster Minis and or your best Warmaster deal or trade ever in any forum? Doesn't have to be eBay. I don't pay more than £10 a unit. I just can't physically do it. I can't, because by the time I've bought an army, which is going to be 20 plus units,
20 units,
and then you've painted the fucking thing, which I normally have to pay for, that's too expensive for an army for me.
Mm-hmm.
So £10 a unit tends to be my ceiling, and that tends to mean that some of the rarer stuff I can't get, but then lots of that rarer stuff's just alternatives to other stuff anyway.
Yeah.
It does make some of the stuff like Lizardmen and stuff incredibly hard to get hold of, because you ain't getting them for £10 a unit. No matter what they are, you ain't even getting skinks for £10 a unit. Forget about the good stuff.
Not unless the person selling it just doesn't know what they're selling.
Or something we'll talk about, because it comes up later on. We'll talk about the recast issue.
Yeah.
And your best Warmaster dealer or trade ever. Okay, so in very early in the episodes, you may pick up, I bought an army before we played. When we used to play tokens, like in episode 1, 2, 3, we were playing just token armies. And if you go back and listen, it'll tell you how to make those token armies. I asked at the club if anybody had a Warmaster army, because I knew that the club used to play the bunker. And Clark, he said he had an army. Now, at this point, I had no concept of how rare stuff potentially could be. And he said, oh, I've got a Lizardman army. I said, well, they're not really my cup of tea in fantasy Lizardmen. But, yeah, cool. So he brought it, and I paid him 50. 5-0.
For
a and it wasn't a complete army, but it did have like half a dozen units of Saurus, a couple of cold ones. It had a 2,000 point army, a Stegodon, but it wasn't like the army I'd build, obviously. So I had to do some work.
You got
around
a 2,000 point Lizardman army for 50 quid.
Yeah, including the box.
Including the box,
and a
right
rule
in.
Book.
And a rule book.
But I had no concept of how rare
he didn't
it was.
Either.
It was just one of Clarky's many hoard products.
Yeah.
And he even painted a few bits. So then I paid Rid to paint it, and that's probably my favourite. Not because, I mean, what can you do? I had no concept of what it was worth.
Yeah.
He had no concept of what it was worth. He was just, that's kind of roughly what I paid for it.
Yep.
Because there's always a like, mate's discount. If you paid like £100 and you're selling it off, it'll be like £50-60. Because you don't expect to get back what you paid for it, second hand.
Yeah.
Right, so, Paul, what is your best deal and what is your eBay price ceiling, etc.?
This is why we have to take a different lead in questions. We don't want to echo the same answers. But, I do also think that £10 a unit is what GW would charge you now if they were selling it new. That's what I think they would be, is 10 quid. So, also, I try to, on eBay, stick to that limit. Now, I might let it go a little further if I particularly need the thing. Like, say I'm trying to... I have at times paid a little bit more to get something ready for an event.
Like a screaming bell?
Yeah, or something like that. But, but I do try to stick to that. And I do say that to others that is the fair pricing going for it. And I don't like... on eBay, I mean, ultimately, it's as much as somebody will sell it for, but sometimes people really scalp hard on it, and I don't like that. That's not fair. Like, there's not... Warmaster models are tiny. They're 10 mil. There's not a lot of material there. They shouldn't
be expensive.
There really
isn't a lot of material.
So they're not like, oh, this is a huge centrepiece, 28 mil scale, massive dragon. These are tiny things, and they shouldn't be worth that much.
Especially the Battle of the Five Armies stuff.
Yeah,
some of that's fucking crazy.
Which is, to be honest, more basic... Then yeah, it's like it's all one posing stuff. Like they didn't do multiple poses, and yet it just, anyway. So
in my Lizardman, I couldn't find a set of pterodons. I only had one. I couldn't find a second one, so I got from Eureka.
Yeah.
It's like knackers, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pay 10 quid for a unit from Eureka.
Yeah.
I'm not paying 50 fucking quid for a unit of pterodons.
Of course not. So that is my. So what was it? The question was. What do you pay on eBay?
What do you think? General thoughts. We'll talk a little bit about the general thoughts of eBay.
General thoughts is that it should be £10 a unit. But
some of the stuff is fucking common as muck, though. The core six, apart from chariots, Chaos chariots, are shit cheap.
But it's always worth, when somebody is selling off their collection or somebody else is selling off the collection for them, and they're big armies, and it often the best deals are in those ones. Like,
well, except for the fact that unless you say how many units of chariots you've actually got, because you buy like a 3,000 point chaos army, and there's no chariots.
Yeah, well, that tells you chariots are rare. So then my best deal is probably my Ark and Goblin army.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
this was, just because it's a funny story, I don't mind sharing stories. But Paul accused me of trying to gazump him. I was trying to offer more money. I was trying to say, that's not enough, Paul. Because by the time I bought the models and paid them, it's worth twice that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was trying to say, I'll pay more. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Deal's done.
But like,
deal's done.
Well, like Barry has gazumped me before.
You think my deal on Lizardman was good? Your deal was even better.
Yeah, I suppose.
The painting was off the chart.
Yeah, yeah, it's, like, it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's better.
And it was fully painted.
It's fully painted. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you even made him paint some other bits for you.
Damn right. Which I negotiated how much that would be. And I held him to it, held his toes to the fire. Mate, you make a deal with the Lannister. I'm going to get my deal. That's what we said. I'm like, I'll burn you.
He's a monster. Right, so, okay. So he's not going to discuss finances because he's too...
No, too much of a gentleman. Yeah, but basically, the Ork and Goblin army I own, I got from somebody else for a very good deal.
Very good deal. Yeah. If I was, I said I was already happy to double the price.
All right, so I'm asking the next question. I'm reading it out. Otherwise, you're always answering them. Take it in turns, don't we?
Okay, right. So it's the second one from the top.
Yeah.
Beastmen proxies.
Best proxies for Beastmen based upon your experience. You guys must have seen a lot of minis on the tournament scene and clubs. Best proxies for Beastmen would be Rodder's Army, Beastmen Army, to me. Is the best overall looking.
Is that not Eureka one?
It's Eureka and Manistrum Millistrum make really good models for Beastmen armies. Jim has done some really nice Beastmen stuff as well. So I would say those two companies are Manistrum Millistrum and Eureka for going for Beastmen stuff. That's what I would say for proxies for Beastmen. Yes. How about you, Barry?
I don't really have anything to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
Favourite scenery piece for your table of Warmaster? They're pieces that are not usable, unfortunately. Like these big castle things.
Yeah.
The big fortified pieces.
Yeah, well, if you play the game, like, so you can, I guess this term narrative play is one thing. So if you're playing it casually for fun, why not have a bit of fortified scenery? But if you're playing it in organised play, fortified is just, it's just too good.
It's ridiculous. How do you get any combat resolution out of it?
Goblins beat Chaos Warriors. So you can't have it in a game. That's why we don't have it in our tournament scene. Like, you know, there's the table setup has rules for what is what, and none of it is ever fortified. But anyway, the question is, Barry, what's your favourite scenery piece?
I said, it's the Forge World castles. There's loads of different ones.
Yeah.
None of them are usable. No, they're all lovely.
Okay, so my answer, I would say exactly the same. sadly... I think with the Forge World castles, they're a bit out of scale, some of them.
Everything. The scale's all over the place.
They were clearly made just to be... They're not very Warhammer fantasy, they're just medieval.
Yeah.
And the look at them, there's nothing to say that they're fantasy.
They're definitely the wrong scale.
Yeah.
And also, the bases don't fit anywhere on the scenery.
No, not at all.
So it's not like you can put them on the ramparts or anything.
But they do look lovely. If you can... They're just high-quality castle models.
But I would be very wary of buying them on eBay.
Yes, exactly.
Because 99.9% of them are going to be recast.
Yeah, of course.
As long as you know that and don't overpay, then fine. But we're going to come on to recasting.
Are we sending people's names connected to if we don't know them?
I'll just first name them. If you know them and don't care.
Oh, so those three questions were from Daniel.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Hey, Paul, listen to your podcast all the time. Here's some questions for you guys. First one, do you have a most memorable game of Warmaster? So for me, my memory is not fantastic. Obviously, there's the game I played against Rick Priestley when I was 16... that I vaguely remember, but in recent, and that was good for lots of reasons because I was a bit awestruck. But the best game I've played recently,
it was on Gareth's team, yeah.
Yes, he was. Yeah, okay. The best game I've played recently would have been at a tournament in Colchester that I was running, where I was playing in that one, and I played against Jim. It was second round, and I was using Chaos, and he was using Kislev, and it was fantastic. It was. a five-star match.
Five.
So you use a wrestling term. It would just, because it went right down to the wire. We were the last game playing. We were both on the edge of our clocks, both on the edge of our break. It was going back and forth, and you know, we were trying everything, and it just mentally exhausted me. It was that. It was really good. That was my favourite one. What about you?
It's hard, isn't it, to narrow it down. Play a lot of games.
Well, just say one.
In tournaments. Well, I don't know. The winning with Lisbon, finally winning a singles tournament.
Okay. So what, the game that you won to win you the tournament?
Yeah, against the guy that I lost in the final last
year. Yeah, it's got memorable for good reasons. Yeah,
yeah, and he had the same list, and I obviously had brought a different list.
Yeah,
he beat me.
And he smashed him.
He smashed my high elves. Well, he didn't smash my high elves, but he beat my high elves, and then I beat him with Lisbon. So that was good. It was good. It's always good to play against the same person and get a different result. Yeah. Like, beating Janners, I could have said that one. But it really wasn't much of a win. It was like putting a ferret in a sack and then kicking it. Because he was using goblins, and I was using high elves.
Then an equally strong game would be for me with beating Janna's. Vampire counts into...
Don't say into.
Against...
against, there you go. There's the English parlance. Yeah. We're not turning into those Americans. Here, I play into this. But what's your drop playing into?
But that would have been a favourite because I beat someone I didn't think I was going to beat.
That's what grinds my. I'm waiting for it to start happening in Shadespire, and it'll be like, "Hey, what's your drop playing into?" It's like, "Fuck you, fuck you."
That's my drop.
That's my drop. Fucking anyway. So good. Can you? Oh, Jesus Christ! This one's going to go on forever. Holy shit! He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's done. Can you guys talk a little bit about your Warmaster collections? What armies you have, etc.
All right.
So it's me first. Holy shit. I found a box of miniatures, and there were four unpainted armies in the miniatures, in the box. Not even based yet, just in a fucking cardboard box.
Of
whose? Oh, man. Of mine.
All right, okay.
It's like, I just keep buying armies. I haven't even had time to base them. I think I'm probably on about 10 armies now, but only four or five are based and painted.
Can you list them?
No, probably not.
Can you list any of them?
I can list the painted ones.
Go on, do them.
So there's...
Answer the man's question.
I'm trying to fucking answer this question. My house has been in flux for 2 years. So we've got Lizardmen, High Elves, Empire, Chaos, Araby. I'm not sure how painted my Tomb Kings is.
That it?
That's probably six. And there's at least four or five. I've got dwarves, but they're not painted. There's loads of stuff that's not painted, like ridiculous amounts. Bretonians, they're not painted. Yeah, stupid amounts of stuff not painted. And the complete opposite to Paul, where Paul's is all laid out, mine's in boxes, hidden in cupboards, and you go, oh shit, there's four armies in here, oh my god!
Okay, so mine is Tomb Kings painted, Vampire Counts painted, a bit of a Wood Elf army for when they're usable, undone, you know, not painted, a Bretonian army, not painted. A Dwarf army painted, Dark Elf army painted, Lizardmen painted, Empire painted, Dogs of War painted, Kislev unpainted, Orcs and Goblins painted, not by me, Chaos painted, there's some demons there, but not enough to make an army, they're painted, Skaven painted, High Elves painted, Ogre Kingdoms, not painted. Chaos Dwarves, painted. Albion, painted.
Albion.
Yeah, that's me. That's what I've got.
It's a few, isn't it?
It is a few. And part of the reason why I'm able to be self-funded like for hobby this year is there's plenty to get on with.
Yeah, no need to write. Right. You want to ask this one, do you?
Yes, give me that.
Number three.
Is there a certain model or army you wish you had? There's two things I wished I had. I wished I had a demon army, and I wished I had an Araby army.
Okay. Well, I have one of those. Okay. And it's painted.
Yes.
But that, you can borrow that if you want.
I might do one day. But those are things that I would love to own.
With twin elephants, because that's the only way to
Boom!
Go.
Boom!
There is nothing.
Where's the beach?
It was Ian that said that, Ian. You know, Ian from Telford Way. He said, there's nothing in the game that can't be solved by applying more elephants.
More elephants, sorry. Crunch!
2 units of the fucking elephants would just ruin us.
Yeah.
21 attacks with terror, bang!
Bang! You're dead!
It's all gone. Imagine that against your little rat men.
Oh yeah, I think I have played that game. Yeah, it kills Skaven good.
It kills them good. Right, so model another unit affecting pterodonts.
Right,
that's a army ogres. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any ogres. Yeah. There was like one unit of ogres, and I think I saw them on eBay, and they were like 25 quid. It's like, fuck this, mate. I ain't buying like 20 units of these ogres to then convert them like Jim did. I'm not Jim. Jim's amazing, man. And he made them all converted and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had to find the ogres to do it from. Yeah. It's like, I ain't doing that. No way. I'd rather spend 2 years of my life learning and building my own bloody army. So that's what I did. Right. I don't know about any of the other armies. I've got quite a lot of access to a lot of armies now. I'm not sure I really lust over anything else. The grass is always seems greener because there are 24 lists. So you think, this one would be good, this one would be good. Yeah. But really, would they?
I mean, give me enough time. In time, I would like. I'll slowly like go. I'd get them all. But
many times I've thought of Dogs of War. Yeah. Of getting them, and then they're just not very good.
No.
So then, why would I play them?
Well, you wouldn't.
Exactly. Why would I not just play Empire?
Yeah, because you're a power gamer.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe I am. Right, okay, what's up next for the War Master Rules Committee after the Wood Elf list is released? And the Beastmen list?
I think we'll kind of answer this together, really, don't
we? I'm working, fucking non-stop working on the Dwarf Engineers Guild, mate. I want to see those 8 units of cannons hitting on 3 up, blowing the living shit out of everything.
So I have real stuff to add to this, is that next session I have planned with Jim is for Cafe. We'll be going to be playtesting the Cafe army. But basically, in general, it's to... Beastmen have literally this morning got a vote up to get approved. So they are... So assume that army gets approved. I don't see why it wouldn't. For the London GT, both Norse and Beastmen will be legal to use. Wood Elves further behind.
This is funny. There was a reason that I said those 3 had to come last and get everything else done.
Yes.
Because especially this Wood Elf one.
Yeah. But the road is long, but it's being trodden.
It is trodden, yeah.
It is going somewhere.
There are some feet pounding bricks.
So it is happening. Then I suppose, like, looking for your future, because a guy on the committee said, most noted on the High Elf army, thread, he said, I know this army's been approved, but I just noticed that Giant Eagles seem, comparing to other units, are good value for points.
Very good.
Very good. And it's like, and I said, well, pin it for the moment, because if we come back to looking at approved armies, my aim would be to get units that aren't viable used in armies, which in this case, High Elves, what do we do? Nobody uses. Right. Nobody uses Dragon Riders. Right. Like, what do we do about
that? That's not true. I saw Dragon Army. 5 Dragon Army. Jeff took it.
Yes.
He had the 2 Dragon Riders.
Yes.
And he had a Wizard, a Hero, and a General. All the dragons. 5 Dragons.
5 Dragons.
It was shit. And it should be shit. Because imagine if that was good.
Yeah, that was good. You don't have that all the time.
So I've got 5 dragons, mate. What are you going to do? I'm going to lose. I'm not going to play a game, mate. You're just going to fly around killing everything.
So I guess the future committee stuff is to look at approved armies, see if there's anything we want to update. And there is plenty of thoughts about all of them that we could consume. So nothing is, basically, nothing's ever set in stone. Like, you know, we were talking earlier about a Dark Elf core army rule. Well, we can be changed in the future. That's the point of a living game.
I see more tinkering around the sides rather than rebooting.
Like, it is more tinkering. Like, you won't have an approved army dramatically change. It'll be like, maybe it gets an extra unit, or maybe something gets changed in amongst it. Like,
why would you want to make Dragon Riders good?
Barry, don't get stuck on this.
I know, I'm just saying, in general.
Right.
In that the game has a balance,
because,
but it isn't dominated
because,
by characters
and
monsters.
I'm just saying, because they're a unit in the army roster that is never used.
It is used by people that aren't worried about winning.
All right, okay.
Okay.
And it actually says in the text, it says,
but there may be these things
deliberately
are
deliberately underpowered.
Yeah, but then maybe these things are to be addressed, like, you know, it's to ask a question, like, are we happy with that as it is? You are we happy with that?
Yeah.
You know, like, so, No, but the way I can see the committee going, and I want to see it going, is it never stops tinkering around the edges of stuff. But we would aim, I think, for like yearly updates on the army's book. I think that's how it would go. But the problem is it takes a lot of games to play test something.
It does.
And we just, with best will in the world, we just can't get enough of those games done to properly play test things as much as we like.
And you have to play test them against all the different army
yes,
types.
Of course you do.
It's not just like playing against Empire, playing against Vanilla all the time. You've got to play against all different types of stuff.
Yep.
So I think at the end of the day, it's like once it's done, it'll be just like treading on.
Yeah.
Like changing small elements, not trying to reboot anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, have you, or someone from the Rules Committee, ever had a chance to speak or correspond with Rick? Well, Paul has. Has he had a chance to play Revolution? No, and he wouldn't, unfortunately, because he's moved on.
Yeah. Now, you're asking lots of questions here.
Yeah, it was one question, mate.
Right, yeah.
What's his thoughts on the game? Well,
I don't know. him.
Yes, exactly. But what I would say is, although Rick's moved on, he did say that Ancients was the natural evolution of Warmaster, and that's what Alish decided to base this on. So if he was going to write a second edition, this is probably what it would look like-ish.
Hopefully, yeah. So I have corresponded with Mr. Rick Peasley, asking if he wanted to make a attendance at the London GT in any capacity, which he had to say no, and I can respect his decisions why, because he's had to, you know, he's moved on, he's not connected with that anymore.
It's not paying his wages.
It's not paying his wages.
He needs to earn money and do stuff.
But I would love to interact with him, like, in the flesh at some point. That would be cool. As Barry kind of has answered that. So I have had interaction. I mean, he's an approachable guy. I messaged him on Facebook, and after a while he messaged back. You know, so he doesn't hide. Yeah, like in the sense of like.
No, he's in. Active in the community. I follow him and stuff.
Yeah.
See what he's doing. Gates of Antantis, or is it Antantis?
Yes.
And there's a space version.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to support him, go and follow his new games.
What's up next for painting table for Warmaster? Okay, I better answer this because Barry doesn't paint.
I can answer. It's not my painting.
So I work in projects, and at the moment I'm doing a Necromunda game for Orlok because I'm playing a Necromunda one, and that's a small project. Like painting a Shadespire game is a small project; doesn't take a lot of time. A Warmaster army does take a bit of time because it's either half done. You can't, I'll quickly do a few and it's done and then I can make more options. As for what that will be, I'm undecided. I am tempted to do the Bretonians in a Knight Templar look. Or I could. Kislevs would be a bit harder to do, I think. There's some Orc and Goblin units I want to do, kind of mirroring the style that they're in, so I can throw them against Barry in an Orc and Goblin challenge. Quite cool. Maybe. I think I'm leaning more Bretonians as an army I would like crack out and do. But also, I'm playing a Warmaster Ancients day coming up, and if that leads to actual event, I need to do a Roman army. And Warmaster Ancient armies, especially if they're elite, are smaller than Warmaster Revolution armies, so I might be playing Romans.
Romans red.
You can be blue.
Yeah, I didn't see many blue.
Yeah,
Strum is red cloaks or blue cloaks, but really.
Yeah. All right, Barry.
Okay, nothing's on my painting table. I don't even have a painting table at the moment. I don't even have a hobby room. I don't have anything. At the moment, because we're still in flux. Although it's supposed to be finished before Easter, my house. It won't be, obviously.
Is that what they've told you?
Yeah. I mean, it obviously won't be.
What did they tell you originally? Like, what was the date originally?
I don't think we ever got into those
kind of minutia. That minutia
of, like, completion date.
When this finishes, man, we don't need to talk about this.
It started at the end of July 2016. So that's a mere 20 months or something. Mere 20 months. Or 21 months. One day it'll be finished and I'll have a lovely room to hide in. So painting-wise, I need to get some stuff painted.
Yeah.
So I need to get ogres painted. I'll get those shipped out. And,
I mean, because the reason for me to get some commission work done on a few armies was to give me loads of choice about events, which I have now. So I feel no pressure
to get in a War Master army finished for an event, because I have plenty I want to do. Yeah. I have already done. Which is the whole point. But then again, say, if I came across a fully painted army that was a good deal, like those Dogs of War were for me...
I set you up for that one?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah.
I'd buy them, but I ain't ever going to use them. Yeah, so I don't want them. Paul will buy them. Yeah, yeah. And he did. Bang, ding, dong. Boom, bing, bosh.
Next question.
Right, when can we see more YouTube War Master battle reports?
That's for you to answer.
Well, there's a bit coming later, which is important news. And then hopefully after... by the end of April, I'll be finished.
Yeah.
And then I ain't doing anything, mate. Apart from maybe launching a web store and fulfilling some web orders, I ain't doing anything. I'm taking the time off. Uh-huh. I'm playing some games in the day. I'm doing some gardening.
Yeah.
Trying to get my games room back in the house. Yeah, so May.
Okay.
My best answer for that.
My answer is, when is Barry free? And that is May.
What I need to learn is how to do next level videoing.
Yes.
Because at the moment we just bang it straight on Facebook unedited.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want one webcam on the dice tray.
Yeah.
And one webcam on the table. And maybe a third close in webcam. I want three webcams going.
And we need to. And when we come back to this, we need to plan out. Do we take live action? Like, is it live footage of us moving? Or is it just a still of the end of life?
Right. Live.
That's what it's something to discuss.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, live.
That's right. I mean, I'm happy with anything.
Otherwise, way too much editing.
Anyway, we can get. Can we get some tactical discussion on the podcast? I like the army list reviews and list building conversations, but some basic tactics or thoughts would be great, i.e. artillery, flyers, best way to use shooting, infantry, etc. Yes, we can. The best way, because I'm a visual person, the best way to see these to teach these tactics would be to visualise them on a tabletop with measurements. Like, this is and us explaining, this is what I'm going to try to do with this order. If it works, I do this. If it fails, I do this. The reason I'm doing both, etc. Right. So we could talk them through on a podcast, but they're hard to visualise.
Yes, I think that's a perfect YouTube thing.
Yes.
Because my big concern is when I start doing this multi-camera shit, it's going to have to go into an editing piece of software, and they need to be, they're really resource hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's quite intensive, the project. So keeping them small, like 10, 15-minute videos, would be a good way to start.
Yeah, there's...
Rather than 3 hours.
There's a key in the market for that, area in the market.
Okay, right, good. But then we'll have to make sure we're right, otherwise Alice should be just fucking kicking us the whole time and rad.
We'll have to ask Alice first.
you look at the video, Alice, make sure it's right, and then we can...
Yeah, yeah.
Put it, right, have you ever thought about having guests on the podcast to talk about tactics army build? Having someone like Janaway might add some insight. You'd hope, wouldn't you? Mr. fucking seconded. Hope that helps. Keep up the good work on the podcast. I love listening to them, Matt. And as by Adam. So, well done. Thanks for saying you like listening to them. We have had Janas on, but we had to do it via Skype.
Yeah.
And they were mixed bag at best. He likes to keep his powder dry on Janaway. I think sometimes, you know, there's an element of, like, surprise that... He doesn't want to give all the trade secrets away.
I think, I would like guests, but I think some people wouldn't want to be on it, in a sense. Like, maybe, like, it's not a given that, it's not that we don't ask, it's a thing that we assume they'd say no.
So the issues are, one, we tend to record during the day when people work.
Yeah, well, I'm a nurse, so I'm on shifts, and Barry's a house husband. So we are free at times, not other people aren't.
Yeah, so I'm not free at times when kids are off.
Yeah.
But I am free, like, now.
Yeah.
On a Thursday, morning at 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
Where most people aren't.
No. Exactly.
So we sometimes have unexpected guests in the car.
Yeah.
So, like, when we're driving somewhere and we record, we have people like Sherwin.
Yeah.
The Fluff Master. Because he lives locally, so he'll quite happily come down in an evening and record.
Yeah.
When we get the studio set up.
I need you to come pick me up. Right. I got bit by fucking disease, dog. God damn it.
Okay, so we had a small interruption for Paul playing nurse.
Playing nurse.
Busman's holiday. And this next section are from Phil. OG Phil. Okay, so thanks for the questions, OG Horse. Phil. Those last questions for Adam. Right, what's the most memorable moment of the podcast so far?
Okay.
I could have read these in advance and thought about them, couldn't I?
You could have done. Do you have an answer to that? must be getting recognised.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Getting recognised in the wild, in the open.
In the wild.
Yeah, that was quite an impressive feat. Yeah, in the wild at the BonesCon, BonerCon.
BonerCon.
Yeah, what was yours then, Paul?
Mine would have been the us making a milestone, and it would have been as in like of episodes and getting contacted like about the London GT, for example.
Okay. Ooh.
For who we are, and it's like, are we? Yeah, it's like, and other things would have been getting asked, you know, getting us being known as the voice of the game, and it's like, which we don't pretend to be, but that's quite cool.
Right. Are you still alternating now, or you...
No, I'm just finishing it. Go on, carry on. Like, oh,
Give it up.
Right. What do you think is the best unit in the game, point for point? Right, point for point.
That's what it says. Thinking about it again.
I'm thinking. I would have said Chaos Hounds.
they're still good.
They're still really good. what is it right now? Well, sadly, it's Huskarls, I think. Point for point.
I'd have had a hard time arguing with you. If we're talking about anything in any list...
Yeah. Anything in any list. But, approved lists.
Oh, I don't know about approved lists. Yeah, we're going to go with our approved lists. Okay. Yeah. If we're not going to approved lists, if we're going anything in any list, it is probably the Shrine.
Yeah.
Which is an upgrade, but that's not really...
Which is Nippon.
And if it's not, then it's Ronin out of Nippon. Ronin are just fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
They're like Saurus.
Yeah.
That mean nothing. Like, they don't even count to brain, mate. Here they come. Smacking the
kill
shit
them,
out of
kill
everything.
You, it doesn't matter.
Smacking the shit. It's like what Bretonian infantry would be in a wet dream.
Yeah.
Because this stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
And doesn't count for nothing.
Doesn't count for nothing. Yeah.
Ronan, 8 of them. There was a reason why, if you see in the list ever, there's a maximum of like 0-4 and people are taking 8, like Huskarls or Ronin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or 0-6, God forbid, people are taking 12 with the old Chaos Towns.
Yeah.
That should be a flag that that something's not right with them. Mm-hmm. So, it was Chaos Hounds by a mile.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, but we managed to deal with something about it.
Because if you put Chaos Hounds in a flank of something like cavalry, they're winning. They cost nothing.
Yeah.
You can trade 4 units of these for 1 unit of cav, and the Hounds are winning.
Yeah, the Hounds are winning, yeah.
12 attacks in a flank's nothing to grumble about. So, Chaos Hounds, stroke. You said Huskarls. Even the rebooted Huskarls.
Even the rebooted are not enough, but yeah.
And I'd say Ronin or something similar. If it's not Ronin, then it could be like Demon or what are they called? Lesser Demons or something, or like Saurus or any of that 5-3-5 profile. Oh, 4-3-5.
The magic profile.
4-3-5 is the profile. Right. Favourite game each? I don't know what that means.
A game of war.
Must.
Yeah, we've already answered that.
I was going to say, favourite, what kind of game?
So, ask the next question, that doesn't count.
Who is the most important presenter?
I think it's you, Barry.
I don't think it's me.
Right.
You're the talent.
I'm the talent.
That's how it works.
But you're the man who produces it, so clearly you, Barry.
Well.
Yeah, because you could make an episode without me. I couldn't the other way.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting point.
Yeah, like it's like saying who's more important, the pilot or the engineer? Well, clearly the engineer, because the plane doesn't exist otherwise.
Well, it might fly for a while.
Right. Will there be a 100-episode curry, maybe around the Grand Tournament? Yes, I'd really like there to be.
I'm not sure it'll be around the Grand Tournament. When's that? June?
May 7th.
May 7th?
Is it May 7th? No, May. It's in...
Even May's pushing it.
Yeah, hang on.
Because we're...
I'll tell you. I should know that off the top of my head.
You should, really. Because you're running it.
I booked the date or time off work. I know I'm free. May 19th.
May 19th. So we are on episode 90.
Yeah.
There are no episodes for the next two weeks.
Because
at least one.
I'm away and you're away.
Are you away as well?
Yeah, I'm going away to Puzzlewood.
Is that...
On the Welsh border.
Puzzlewood? Is that the name of a place or
it's
an event?
It's the name of a place. It's the name of a place. We're away with family for 5 days.
Oh, this is the one?
Yeah.
The annual one?
This is my family.
Oh, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. The winters.
Mm-hmm.
The winters are coming.
Yep.
So it's unlikely we'll get 10 episodes done in four weeks.
No, God no, but there would be a centenary episode would be a good thing to excuse to have for a celebration.
Oh, for Curry, yes.
Because you shouldn't need excuses to be social.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And 100 is something big.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's more than one.
It's more than one. Yeah. Yes, okay. Alex Janaway.
Oh, yeah.
The legend.
Yeah, here's his question.
Who is the most attractive presenter in real life? I have a favourite, but that would be Tenning.
Well, clearly it's Barry.
Well, I have no comments, sir. No comments.
I say Barry.
I say go grow bald with dignity. No comb overs here.
recasters, yes or no? What price levels are okay? Alternative manufacturers you've recently discovered. Blackgate is a given. Oh, all right, okay. So, recasters, yes or no?
Oh, God damn it.
I got to answer this first.
Okay, good.
All right. Let's think about this. This stuff comes from a company that doesn't do the game system anymore. Okay? So, how are you supposed to get the original things aside from buying it from somebody else? Obviously, recasting is not not going to be a legal thing to do. But, I mean, personally, I wouldn't have an issue with it because if you were getting a product that was recast of something that is available on the shelf, that is a problem.
That should be a problem.
That's not right.
That's called counterfeit.
Not right. But if it's for something that is not for sale and has not been for sale and is not supported by the people that were making it for a long time, does it make it totally fine? No, but it does make it better than if it was for available. Because ultimately, people want to play the game, and that is a way of getting said something. So, it kind of answers it.
I'm not sure.
I mean, price levels are okay. I mean, ultimately, how do you know something is a recast, not a recast? Yeah, how would you know? Sometimes you can tell. Yeah, but if you're buying something on eBay, how do you know?
You can use your common sense.
Well, yeah, but like,
so if somebody's selling 40 units of Heil Spearmint. And they're for £6 each,
yeah.
And they all look identical, and there's no blisters and no bases.
Yeah.
I'm taking a punt and saying they're probably recasts. And especially when he's selling 40 units of another 40 different lines,
they're probably
all recasts, realistically.
Yeah.
Now, you can't say on eBay, this is a recast,
yeah,
because then they're going to shut you down.
Yeah. You can't say that, yeah.
No. What magic cards? Because magic's got a really big problem.
Yeah, because magic must have.
No, I'm telling you, a really big problem. Whereas, I'm at the moment, in fact, I don't even want to talk about it, but at the moment, there's a big influx of very, very good Chinese fakes.
Yeah.
And they're faking cards which are fucking expensive.
Fake, yeah.
No, they're fucking expensive. So,
okay, yeah.
So say there are cards that are £100 each.
Yeah.
And you can buy 50 of them for like $15 delivered. Now the problem is they're getting into the ecosystem where there are still legitimate cards running around that people are trying to sell. So you've got a $100 card and you've got like a card that's cost you 50 cents.
Yeah.
And it's getting very difficult to tell the difference between them.
Yeah.
Because they're using similar printing presses now, the quality of the stuff in China is getting so good that you can't tell the difference without, like, jeweler's loops and stuff, which people don't have.
They don't have, yeah.
Jeweler's loops. And you're not going to go through someone's trade binder with a jeweler's loop and, like...
Refuse to play them if you found a counterfeit.
Well, this is the bigger problem. Yeah. People are now getting tossed out of tournaments because cards they bought are turning out not to be real.
Oh, I see, right, yeah. But I didn't know.
How would you know?
Yeah.
I've not got a jeweler's loop.
No, yeah. Yeah,
you can't tell.
Yeah.
All the tests they used to be able to tell, there was a bend test where you fold the card in half. There's like a light test, a water test. They pass all these tests now.
Well, that's an issue.
So at what point does a counterfeit just become the real thing?
Become the real thing, yeah, exactly.
And then how do you protect the value of the real thing if everybody's trading counterfeits?
Exactly. It's like printing money, isn't it, in a sense? But it's like, I mean, I'm sure as long as there's been an item of value... And a way to reproduce it cheaper, there must have always been recasting as a thing in the world. Like painting, for example.
Paintings.
It's a classic thing. Like this is a repaint of the... It's not the original. You know, it's like it's a fake. But, I mean, and it comes to like our little niche hobby where, you know... I mean, I say like, obviously the answer we have to give is no, it's like it's not a great thing. But ultimately, it's not... I don't think recasting... of War Master stuff is doing Games Workshop a lot of harm.
They probably would see it. That it is doing them harm.
Yeah.
Because it's hurting the perceived value of goods they sold.
Mm.
Like, so I'm looking at this website now, and I'm going to order a set of, they call them proxies.
Yeah.
Because legally they can't say they're magic cards. Yeah. And so I'm ordering a set of proxies that are only like buttons halfpenny, like $12 or something for 54 cards.
Yeah.
Because I want to have them to look at them to know what I'm looking for when I'm buying cards.
Yeah.
Or,
or
what happens on a night on the, in the club is you trade cards with people.
Yeah.
And they have binders full of cards. And how do you know which ones are the real cards and which are the fake ones?
This is such a minefield for magic. Yeah, I can see.
It's like, fuck, man. I'm like, I'm trading like a $100 card with you and I'm getting like a counterfeit.
Yeah.
How do I even know this?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm having to now buy the counterfeits to try and learn how to find the counterfeits.
Don't envy you. Don't envy you.
So they're going to have to do something. Because what they did, they put a little hologram on the card.
Yeah.
To next level it.
Yeah.
And now they counterfeit the holograms.
They counterfeit that. Yeah.
So it's like, unless they just keep changing things to make them reproduce the newer ones, and all the old cards just lose all the value.
The thing is the people, as in the counterfeiting skills, like the people that are doing, like it's in terms of magic cards. I mean, you can't imagine it in a big stretch. If you can counterfeit magic card, then maybe you can even counterfeit money, and that's a classic crime. Is counterfeiting money.
I think counterfeiting money's harder than magic.
But it's made to be harder because it's cash, isn't it? It's in terms of like the skill. Like demands, like the crime fits the skill level, fits the punishment, that kind of thing. Like, you know, if you can literally in your home basement, I'm not talking like bottom episode here where they try to do it,
right.
able to print money that is taken as legal tender. Well, there you go. Like it's like then you.
Well, that's why they're always having to change pound coins.
Because they are. Because
like 20% of them are fake.
Fake. Yeah. It's hardly recasting in general. It's hardly a new problem. Like a recent problem.
But what is the problem? Is one how sophisticated China is, and two how fucking cheap it is.
Yeah.
So like you can buy stuff on eBay. No, we're not talking about recasting, but Tom Pugh shared something with me. You can buy something on eBay. And they will ship it from China for you cheaper than the postages in England.
Which?
The postage.
Yeah.
Not the item. You pay 99p, they ship you something that will cost you £2.50 to post in England.
It's mental, isn't it? Yeah.
Because they subsidise the postage in China because they want to kind of dominate the world commercially. It's like soft power.
Yeah.
Well, fair play to them. Yeah. But recasting is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's a natural evil. Yeah. It just exists because the stuff is too rare and too expensive.
Yeah.
Now, what I do have a problem with is people not saying it's recast.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're selling stuff into the wild, especially in the trade forum, and you're not saying it's recast when people know fucking damn well these are recast, then I think sometimes you might have to call them out and say, look, mate, there's no way you've got... I don't want to use a real-life example.
So you couldn't do it on eBay, could you? Because what? Then you couldn't say, I'm selling this thing on eBay and it's a recast.
I've reported recasts or something.
Oh, I see. Right.
Not for War Master, but for other games.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, mate, you can't have this many of the same model. They've never got bases. They're all pristine. They all look like they've just come out of the fucking mould.
Yeah, which they have.
Come on, man. You can't just keep relisting the same thing of stuff that's dead.
Yeah.
So, how do we deal with it as a community? I think you've just got to be honest.
Yeah.
If it's a recast, say it's a fucking recast. Yeah. Nobody's going to shock you unless you're making the recast.
The thing is, if the quality was good, like of the model, and it was something I wanted, I wouldn't have a problem. And the price was good, I wouldn't have a problem buying something that was recast. Personally, I mean, I wouldn't have that issue
morally.
Well. I think I've worked for Games Workshop in the past. I don't feel that doing that for a game system they have not.
But what if they brought the stuff back?
That would be different, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would then change this whole question around. Yeah, I think
the whole dynamic.
Yeah, but I mean, I
feel offended when people try and like that guy we're talking about that did the £6 units.
Yeah, yeah.
He was also doing some £20 units. Now those £20 units cost the same to produce as those £6 units.
Yeah, yeah. That's not good, is it? Like that's not correct.
They all sold out.
Yeah, of course they did because they were
there. Was more than 10 of each listing, and they went in like minutes.
Yeah, minutes.
Yeah. Bang.
By the time I looked, it was all gone.
All of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were like multiple listings.
Yeah, yeah.
So you also get places around the world, maybe some of our southern European brethren.
Yeah.
where you can quite happily find grey, sprayed, recast all day, every day.
Yeah.
If you're willing to pay like $30, $40 for a recast unit. I mean, that's the sad thing.
Yeah.
I'd feel unhappy paying $40 for a blistered unit.
Yeah.
But paying $40 for a recast unit, it's pretty grim.
Pretty good.
But I don't know what the answer is. And
it's a really tricky question to answer. But it's, you know, but to understand it, you've got to understand the issue in the first place. Like, why does it exist? Because we want it. You know, like, and you know, it's in terms of, we don't have the answer essentially.
So this is my in the same of I'm treating magic now. This is how I treat Warmaster stuff. Unless it's in a blister. Sealed, mm-hmm. It's a recast in my mind.
Yeah,
that's how it is now.
Yeah,
it's a recast.
Yeah,
if it comes loose with no bases, it's a recast.
Yeah, fair enough.
Even if it comes on a base, there's still a chance it's a recast.
Yeah,
even if it's a GW base. I mean, obviously there's levels. Like, yeah. if it's a GW base and it's painted, there's a chance that's and it looks old.
Yeah.
There's a chance that's not a recast. Yeah. If somebody's just found a bag of GW bases and putting recasts on it, then they're probably, yeah, no, you can make things look more authentic than they really are.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, here's six stands of a unit that look really shiny and new without bases, they're recasts.
Yeah.
They might not tell you they're recasts, but you have to look.
Because recasts. The things were at least cast, if they were new, they were at least cast 15, 20 years ago.
There'd be a bit of oxidisation or something going on. They wouldn't look like shiny new.
Yeah, shiny new pound coins, would they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is what it is. It is what it is. It's not going to go away anytime soon unless GW do something.
It's not. And they're not. I don't see GW rebooting the game system, so this is just a sadly part of it.
And I don't know what you do as a man... Because I'm now moving into manufacturing, so obviously that brings another level of... weirdness to it. So, like, it feels really weird as a manufacturer when somebody just orders one of every unit you do.
Yeah.
But you have to ship it. What am I going to do? Say no? And if they want to recast it, that's their morals. Well, there's nothing I can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about
it. And they'll do well to go through the production process and do it much cheaper than I'm doing it, because I'm doing it for fucking free most of the time. So, yeah, good luck to them. If they want to spend all their life making 40 moulds, good luck to you. But yeah, recasting, it's not going to go away. And I don't know what we do about it as a community. Just call it out. If something looks and somebody's taking a piss, especially on the closed forums, on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
So if you want to go and sell this shit, go sell it on eBay, mate.
Yeah.
But don't come in here.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably the best thing to be done as a community, isn't it, essentially? Is that, as you just said.
I don't want to point it out too graphically, but there's a post with three quite rare Skaven units. And I've got, I've just found three of this Screaming Bell. And you're like, what, just three Screaming Bells with no blisters, no anything, no bases?
Unique to one an army.
And then you've got three extras, have you? Whatever. And you want $50 each for them, do you? Whatever.
I don't like scalping.
So there aren't many comments to that post, and I wouldn't expect many, but whatever. So what are we on next? Recasters? No, yes, no. What price levels are okay? If you're gonna recast, you've got to be reasonable about it. GW made the fucking things for £5 a pop.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna be a recast, how much you want me to pay? Realistically,
I'm
saying that. They want me to pay. I'm not paying £40 a fucking unit. I'm only paying £10 a unit anyway, so that's the ceiling.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
For me, it is.
Alternative manufacturers recently discovered. Blackgate is a given, of course. Oh, you've mentioned that.
Yeah.
This is Frederick. Right, so this is my level, priority level. If money's no option, that Polar Fox stuff is exceptional.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I don't know. Maybe he sculpted it himself or produced it himself. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But his stuff's amazing.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
No.
But
it's not overpriced. It's not too expensive.
It's around the £10 a unit level.
It's a £10 unit level. Yeah.
If you want to get into this game cheap, there are definitely manufacturers who can do it like really, really, really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Like Calistra.
Yeah.
Somebody other like who are the ones that only have a couple of sculpts? Pendragon only have a couple.
Pendragon.
So they only have like a couple of sculpts.
And they sell like a whole wall band
fucking £20 or something.
Yeah.
So you can get some. Does that definitely? Different ends of the spectrum. There's definitely some value producers where you can like get like units for not much more than £3-4 a unit.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's ones like Polar Fox where you're paying like £10 a unit, but the stuff's really good.
Yeah,
like on par with GW, if not.
Oh
better.
Yeah, no. I wish the guy would do more. It'd be fantastic. Yeah, like because it's like he hasn't done something new in a while. maybe, I don't know, maybe...
I don't know the mechanics behind it. Yeah, yeah.
But his stuff is brilliant, yeah. His little character models, when they are, they look just like the fantasy characters, versions of them, are fantastic.
Amazeballs. Mm-hmm. Eureka, they're pretty good. I mean, they're Australian, so again, it's pretty expensive to get them.
Yeah.
Unless you get them through Fighting 15s or somebody local to you. And they're about $8.50 a pack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More with postage and stuff. Yeah. But they're very, very,
they're
very good.
They're good quality as well.
And they have lots of variety. Yes. So that's the biggest issue. I don't like we've only got a couple of poses because the units just look very the same.
Yeah, yeah, they don't look good. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas, like, if you... It's expensive to do, obviously, to get, like, 6, 8, 10 different poses, but it makes things look way better.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I mean, and you notice that in Eureka stuff, though, that's the case. You know, like, they have enough of a range. Like, I did a Chaos Dwarf army where the Chaos Dwarves are Eureka, and there's enough different posed guys to make the units look nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not all a guy raising an axe with a shield. Yeah, that's it. Like, I'll get an example down here. So all these guys, like, enough of them look different enough to make the unit, like, you look unique.
Yeah, so you what's that? There's 8 individual models on this base already, so that's at least 8.
Yeah.
And so if you...
Another Chaos Dwarf.
Another manufacturer might only have 2.
Yeah.
Literally 2.
Yeah, no, literally. Yeah, and some bin manufacturers, that is the norm, isn't it?
Yeah, but because they're trying to make a living out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So these guys do really well, Eureka.
Yeah.
They're probably the two I'd recommend them. But there are some other smaller manufacturers, like Troll Under the Bridge, is it? Did some Chaos-y stuff that look really good.
Yep.
Laren Miniatures. Did some awesome stuff.
Small range, but here's some of them here now. Small range, but they're lovely models. You've seen them before, Barry.
Yeah, I saw them this week. I mean, it's only a small portion of a pack, this, but there's at least 6 different miniatures in
here. Yeah, and you look at it, and like he's done a character pack for Empire, like look like Kislev, Witch Elm type stuff, and they are just look lovely little models. Mm-hmm.
So it is expensive, and not just in getting the sculpting done, in getting the production done for much more expensive than you'd think. So to move from 2 miniatures to maybe 6 or 8 or 10 is like... Adds way more to the cost.
Having seen your little factory, yes, definitely.
Yeah, way more to the cost, right. So they're the ones I'd recommend. Obviously, you can go to any of them, but we have people support us all the time. Like Maelstrom Minison send us loads of stuff.
They're really good. They're really good for price support. They've been consistently the best.
Yeah, and they're the guys that do like army bags.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want, it all depends what you want to do. If you want to have a cheap army, or you want to spend a lot of money to have it look like top balls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like anything in life, if you can spend as much on it as you want to spend on it. Yeah, you know, like as in where's your line? You can get an alternative army that you're going to paint yourself, and you're going to do it, and it'd be much cheaper. But if you want to pay a lot of money, and then go to some commission painter who will do a really good job but is really expensive, then you can, there's no upper cap of how much you want to spend on it.
And if you want the cheapest army to get, it's definitely Calistra.
Yeah,
the scale's wrong on the infantry, but you can get, what did it work out? It's something ridiculous. Fucking hell, it's like so cheap. And they're a bit bigger, so you can't get as many.
The advantage you have with when you think as a concept with a war game to Warmaster is that in Warmaster armies, there's like if you're playing the games at the standard point size, there is a limit. Like that is all I'm going to need for that army. That is done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. What do you think the appeal is with Warmaster?
Quite a bit.
This is Christopher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's the scale.
Yeah.
I don't mean the scale of the miniatures.
Yeah.
I mean the scale of the battle.
Yeah.
Because you can have monsters and stuff in the game that don't dominate the game.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is the old Dragon Rider argument. I don't want it to be good because I don't want it ruining my games.
Fair
running
enough.
Around.
Yeah.
Winning mm-hmm. on its own. Yep. I've got 2 dragons, and one down each flank. Hit me in the middle, boys. It's like, where's the game?
Yeah.
There used to be games like War of Fantasy that just were that.
Well, this reflects my answer as well. Yeah, having played Fantasy in the era of Hero Hammer, that's sadly what it was. And it's what, and when I see AOS games now, that's what it looks like to me as well. It's just like this. It's out of scale in terms of like, you know, when you see most big games of 40k, they have ridiculous sized models on the table. And
Titans and all this shit. Bane Blades.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, compare that to Epic, this to me is so much nicer. Even though this 6mm Epic models are really basic for infantry, because they have to be, because they're so tiny, it just looks so much better to me than a 40k game.
But I think Warmaster looks better than Epic.
Yes, it does, because 6mm's too small.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about trying to scale the vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
So the biggest thing that you've got are dragons. They look epic anyway.
Yeah, they would. And the way they are in the game, it doesn't matter how awesome they look. It doesn't. It's just a character piece.
Can't do anything, yeah.
Can't do anything. It's just a token. You know, I like that. And so I'd say my answer to this, what is the appeal of Warmaster, is that it's aesthetic, but also, to me, it's gameplay. I really like the way the game plays. As it's got a very, at its core, which we have tried to improve on, and maybe humbly we've achieved it, it's got a very good game system at its core. Simplicity does not necessarily mean negativity.
I think that's possibly one of the only criticisms, is how not simple it is when it gets really tied up in the combat. And the pushing and the pursuing and all this fucking shit. It can get really messy.
It can do. But it's at its core, it's a solid game system. I love the fact in Warmaster how a couple of army rules can make that army play so different to that other army.
Or just one.
And just one.
Just the Dark Elf rule on its own.
Well, the classic thing is undead. Is like undead and Skaven. Because of just some army rules, they play so differently. How do you make vampire counts play different from Tomb Kings? Well, they do. Like, even though they have the same core rules, yet they play very differently.
Yeah.
You know, because of their unit selection. It's
well, they are very different armies.
Well, yeah, but they are. But ultimately, it's about a bunch of raised units, raised undead, and that's a great mark of the game system. Now, the sad thing is, getting people to play it in the first place. Is I know a lot of people, and I have met a lot of people at events who would probably love Warmaster, but how are they going to ever try it? Because they're not willing. But that's the thing is, like, the option isn't going to be there in the first place, made available to them, or they're not willing to go out of their way to try it. They'd rather do the thing that they can buy off the shelf and play that game system.
Most people want GW stuff if they're playing the GW game, and the pricing of the stuff online just freaks people out.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Right, this one here.
Yeah.
Given, it starts with Given.
Given the recent trends in crowdsourcing, why do you think more people are reluctant to play games without publishers' fault?
It's your question. Come on.
I guess because they're worried. I guess most people are worried that they'll start something that then dies.
I was already dead.
Well, then may never die. But but I guess that's the main reason, is that whenever I see a new thing, I'm now savvy enough to look at it and go, okay, who else is doing this? Where can this go? Like recently, a friend of mine at the club, Eric, who I wish he liked Warmaster. He doesn't. He's tried it.
Yeah, he's tried. You know what he fixated on?
Yeah. The command rolls.
Oh, the Dragon Rider. They're not very good. Of course they're not fucking good.
So, and that is the... it's a shame, but at least he tried it. So, here's the guy I play most often, and he's at the moment, he's really taken with this Batman the Miniatures game. So, I go around there, we try the thing, and I'm like, yeah, cool, it's a very him game. And I'm like, okay, so I could... Okay, so... Who's playing this down the club? Him, Eric, and another guy, Roscoe. And it's like, okay, so... And there isn't that many players of it, but it's a nice little game system. What's its buy-in? We need to get a gang, and the rest of it is all tokens, which are done from a third party, very cheap. And it's like, so it's not a big buy-in. And it's like, okay, so that is what it's going to be. It's not a game you'd ever take to an event. I doubt events of it even run, but it's certainly not a... anyway, so it's like, and I, having played it, it was, you know, a funny game, a laugh game system.
Right.
So if I went into that, if I spent some money on that, you'd have a group and you play a couple of guys, and that would be as much as it would really ever go.
Yeah,
and it's like, and that's the other thing. Like Shadespire, like in our club, has really kicked off really nicely. Though, I mean, because it just seems to have that appeal. Like, in terms of a limited buy-in of...
Well, it's getting bigger.
It's getting bigger, but it's like, it's...
it's not endless. It's not a in terms of like it just there's more things every week for it.
Yeah, but the problem isn't now. The problem is that if you're a gamer in 2 years' time,
yeah.
and they say, "Oh, what do I need to buy?" You say, "Oh, you need to buy there's like 800 cards. Yeah, so you need to buy these 20 boxes." Yeah. Well, I ain't buying 20 boxes, mate, as a buy-in.
It's sweet spot of that game system is now, isn't it?
Which is why people are playing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they also need to sort out the FAQ.
Yeah, well, as you said, but I think. So the answer was, why do people want to go with games no support? Is because, I guess because they are mostly, I would say, they're worried about them having spent money on something and it having nobody to play, nobody to use it again. Because ultimately, I mean, we're all guilty of being hoarders at times. Mm-hmm. It goes hand in hand with being a gamer. But you do want to use the stuff, don't you? You don't want to...
I think one of the issues I'm wary of is the shiny stuff. Shiny soft syndrome. Yeah, so people buy, especially people, butterflies like Rid.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever fucking game it is, he's bought it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, come on, Kickstarter, he's had. He's done it. Exactly. Done it, sold it.
Yeah.
Gone, next.
Yeah.
So, there are people that buy every game that comes out.
And there are definitely, we're experienced enough now, that some game systems, why did they fail? They failed because of this. Godslayer, which was a good game, failed because its release schedule was really slow. It was a skirmish, a 28mm scale fantasy skirmish game.
And it failed because you backed somebody that shouldn't be around to be backed. He was the guy from behind Maelstrom.
Oh, yeah,
Maelstrom Games.
I'm saying.
Jack and Ori.
Oh, no, that's Darklands you're talking about.
Oh, what's something this else. One?
Godslayer was a German game.
Oh my god, I haven't even heard of this one. Who backed this one?
I don't know, it was out on shelves. So like, it's about to reappear on Kickstarter again.
So, what was that game you backed?
Darklands.
That you never even got? Did you get it yet?
No, I did, but then I just and then sold it on eBay
because it was already 3 years late.
Because 3 years so late, yeah. So basically, long release schedules can kill it. Yeah, it can kill something.
How long are you expecting people to wait before they play this game? Like, 3 years.
Yeah, it's
insanity.
Yeah, exactly. And then once the game system is out, slow release schedules kill games. Yeah, like if Shadespire, if they weren't releasing something for a year, that would kill the game system. Like because they have to. Like, drip feed you something new to keep it interesting, to keep it dynamic.
Every 3 months.
Every 3 months. That's,
that's
something.
A reasonable time frame.
Because if it was a year, though, you'd just die. And that is, I guess, a way. Spartan Games, they're failures because they couldn't focus on something long enough to make it good. They kept trying to do the new thing, and they couldn't just focus on what they already had done. And to make it better.
There's a reason. It's similar to the Mantic way, isn't it? You've got to keep getting money coming in.
Yeah.
People aren't buying the old stuff you've already sold.
Exactly.
You need new stuff, new shiny stuff.
Privateer Press's issue is because they had their game system. They haven't got a staple of games. They had their game system, and they did not do a good change from version to version. It killed a lot of players. And it's now much more a smaller game system. And they've added into that the fact that they had to withdraw... Like, it's not doing so well, and now newer stuff is much more expensive to get hold of because of this.
And they keep adding it. It keeps getting wider.
And they're not addressing a core issue is of their product lines just for this game system are ridiculous. They're just huge. And they're going to do another army soon, Crucible Guard.
Oh, whatever, mate. I don't even know what factions are anymore.
But also, with that game system, a reason it's failing is because it's too complicated to get started. Its learning curve is very steep. Yeah, like Warmaster, like it goes back to the previous question, has an easy learning curve.
Okay, I'd agree with that. So I don't think people are that worried about whether a game's supported or not. I've played many a game that's had no support. Like Blood Bowl had no support for the longest time, like 10 years. And there were tournaments, like there were multiple tournaments each weekend all around the world.
Yeah.
There were multiple different manufacturers. Nobody cared that they didn't support it. Yeah. It's a good thing, generally.
Because if a thing game system is not supported by a company that's going to make money, then those changes are not backed by financial reasons.
No.
We're not trying to do the new rules for the new hotness of Age of Sigmar Marines in Warmaster.
We're not having them.
No, I'm just saying. But like, we're not.
Maybe I'll do those next. Just joking.
Just do them riding in on lightning.
Get bent. So I don't think people are afraid. There are lots of Kickstarters. I think Warmongers all funded. They're for a dead system. So I don't think people are scared of. I think people are scared of games that look like Toss. Like, there was a recent one I tried to back. What was that piece of poop? Warball, have you seen that one?
Oh, no. I know it failed, but, like...
For the third time?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like, geez,
it wasn't
man.
Even close to being
funded. No, it wasn't. It's like 5% funded or something. Yeah, it's like, forget it's, about it's it.
Trying to sell a game that no one's interested.
Well, that is the bigger issue. Mm. It's like,
but how do you know?
How do you know somebody wants your game? Mm-hmm. I don't have that ego thing, man. There was a time, I'll be honest, there was a time where I thought about doing a game, Kings of the North and stuff. And that was because Warmaster was in a different place.
Yeah.
It was, there was no rules committee, there was no revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
The game was flabby as shit. You couldn't get anything changed.
Yeah.
It was all like carved in stone.
Yeah.
So, this is the way it has to be because this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I don't like it. It's shit.
Yeah.
I like bits of the game, but there's lots of the game I don't like.
Yeah.
But now, there's no need for me to even think about doing a new game, because how can I do a better game than this?
Yeah.
What am I? I've not got that kind of ego that I think, oh, I could write a better game than this.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I don't believe I could. I think the game's in a fantastic state.
Yeah, I think it is, really.
So, Kings of the North, as much as I genuinely believe that's something I was going to have to do, I don't believe it's anything I need to even worry about.
Okay.
So, we won't be hearing from me about Kings of the North anytime soon. It may be something I do, like, in the long-term future, if I come up with something that's completely different.
Yeah.
But maybe a similar scale. Who knows? Right, so finally, Justin, when will we see War Master Podcast Microbytes? Or whatever we'll call it. Maybe we'll call it Microbytes. I don't know. Great idea. He's congratulating himself. Well, I
thanks, Justin.
Great idea of yours, Justin. Can't wait to see the short vids on flyers. How to use, how to defend. Yeah.
Well, we've already been asked this.
Cannons making way in confusion. So much you can cover.
So what?
You're right.
So what this? So we already answered this question. So, but what this tells us from our little quick 12-hour questionnaire of like get answers to us is that people want us to do short videos.
I'm not arguing.
I'm just telling you that's the problem.
I said that's what we're going to do. We aren't going to be doing like 3-hour videos because there'll be a fucking bastard to edit.
Yeah.
But as a 15 minute video I can deal with.
Yeah, here's what to do in this situation.
So we won't be doing this ask me any question things very often.
No.
It's a couple of times a year, just give people some time to ask questions.
But thank you very much everyone for writing questions. Thank you.
I answered them honestly, I didn't lie.
Yeah, that's very honest. You'll always be honest with us.
Always honest. We're on to Blackgate Miniatures update.
Yep.
Hey man. You seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Quit your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
So I may have or may have not just stuck in by the first airing of my advert, because we're getting near, so I thought I could share the advert now, because production is finished.
Hooray! Oh, so you did the last two moulds.
This week, and all the run of those moulds. All I've got to do now is clip them off the sprues, there's millions of them, and then get the old child labour force.
The old child labour force involved.
Bagging up those greenlings and junglobbers before we go on our merry way after the weekend.
If their fingers start bleeding, are they working hard enough?
Their fingers will be bleeding. They've got 300 bags to do. 300 bags. And then we're away for a little bit, and then when we get back, we'll be shipping out.
Brilliant.
Fucking hell. So I can go away, not worry about casting or moulding or any shit. All I've got to do is shipping now. Invoicing and shipping.
Are you thinking of rolling out your own army at a November event in Saffron Walden?
That's a reasonable time frame for me to find and pay a painter.
Somebody to paint it for you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a reasonable time frame. And it would be good to use them. That was the whole point around the fucking thing.
I can't be bothered now.
They do say, if you enjoy a hobby, don't make it your business.
Yeah.
Because it will ruin the hobby for you.
No, I had a similar thing. When I worked for GW, I had to paint store armies. And I like painting, but painting the wrong thing, being made to paint it, it was killing me. was killing me.
I never want to look at another marine again.
Yeah, no, it was high elves. It was just like, it was killing me. I was just like, I'm hating this. and it's like, it's so toxic to me. I don't like this.
How quick were you expected to paint that?
Wasn't unreasonable standards, but it was my choice of what colours I chose to do. Because
blue, obviously.
White. But like, but the paints weren't as good as the range is now.
Right.
And it was just to get them look, because obviously I'm a bit of a, I didn't want to do a terrible job, but even do a reasonable job was taking loads of time.
Because they didn't have washes back then,
no,
I guess.
Just the paints just weren't as good. They didn't cover as well, like some colours. White was awful.
But yeah.
Yeah, like, so anyway.
And yellow used to be shit. Yellow used to be like.
Yeah, how do you ever make an Imperial Fist army? God knows.
There was no yellow undercoat.
I think you had to paint it white and then go yellow.
Like a million coats of yellow.
Yeah, a million coats of yellow.
Yeah, yellow used to be shit, man.
Yep.
Right. So, yeah, that's good. I tried to have a celebration last night. So I told my wife, it's done. I worked my tits off yesterday. And It's done. Let's celebrate tonight. Right?
So what's new?
Well, the builders decided yesterday they were going to rerun all the central heating.
Yeah.
And they didn't finish till 9 o'clock. And there were multiple leaks in the house. And the kids are trying to go to bed, and there's fucking water spewing through ceilings and around electrics. And it's 9 o'clock, we still haven't eaten. It's obviously not celebrating, we're not eating, we're not drinking. Just dealing with fucking builders at 9 o'clock at night with water pissing out of ceilings. So this is my big release after the production's finished. It's like, whatever.
So you're going to celebrate tonight instead?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I think she's working late tonight or something. Oh. But whatever. We'll celebrate on holiday.
Knackers to it.
It's because the production's taken 6 months, I think, maybe even a little bit more.
But fair play, I mean,
I can't remember what day he gave me the remaining sculpts.
The thing is, I know, obviously, I might be a bit biased, but the stuff is fantastic. Like, I would say,
I didn't make any of it. Like, no, I didn't sculpt it.
But what the product you've ended up with, the army, like, all of it, looks great. It's not like.
But this is what Kickstarters should be about. Man.
Yeah,
it should. This would not exist. You could not go to like one of the other manufacturers and expect them to spend $5,000 on sculpts.
Yeah,
or $2,000 on art, or because it's just what it can't happen because they can't make any money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit down soon when I get back from holiday and I've done all the shipping and I'm going to see if I've broken even because.
Well, I hope you have.
Because that would be nice. Because that's excluding all my time. And there's been a lot of man
Your time means nothing.
Yeah,
like,
and if I've broken even, then maybe I'll look at another range. Not this year, though. I'll be doing some background work, maybe look at next year or something.
But Christ, I don't know how many times I have to offer, but like, if you need help, like you can ask for help.
You're not Northern, mate.
Oh.
You're not Northern. My cross.
But, yeah, I say, like, anyone who would be interested in an ogre army, this is fantastic. This army looks great.
Well, that's good, dude. Right, so that was the Blackgate miniatures update, which is good news. So by the end of April, everybody should have their shit in their hands playing with it. Playing with their shit. Don't play with it too often. You'll pull it off.
By the end, it's too... You might even see, who knows, like if someone was quick on the old job.
I think Christoph was trying to
bring an ogre army to the London GT.
Maybe. We'll see if we can ship his stuff early.
Yep.
Right, so, so that's it. We've got a new outro.
Yep.
That I have to read now.
Okay.
To keep it consistent, because the outros were always a bit messy.
Yep.
So you can contact us on the War Master Podcast Facebook page or at warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com. You can also find me on Twitter. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Oh, you can find me on at KingNerdUK.
Great.
Because Facebook's a bit awkward because there's like family and stuff on there, so I can't throw the net that wide on Facebook. Yeah. But Twitter, I quite happily fucking wade in and say any old shit. So that was War Master Podcast episode 90 with Paul and Parry.
Thank you for listening.
Good night.
Would you like to know more?